The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Monday. Thanks for being with us. Peter King in about 10 minutes on all things around the National Football League. Now that the combine is behind us. And I think things are shaping up well for the Arizona Cardinals. I want to get into a deep dive with Peter on that, the latest on the NFL labor, the coronavirus, and the NFL draft, and much more. That'll be with Peter King, Tom Brady's future, too. So a lot to get to with Peter King. That comes up here again in about 10 minutes. I had a just kind of a random weekend where there was not a lot going on in sports other than the Coyotes were of interest to me. Like when Giannis went down with the injury against the Lakers on Friday night, I don't care of seeing the Bucks Suns on a Sunday afternoon when Giannis isn't playing. And yeah, the Suns won and they didn't have to beat the MVP of the NBA, so it's fine. I did want to see some of the Lakers Clippers, and I got caught up just doing some projects and stuff, the college basketball on Saturday night. I saw a bit of ASU. I golfed this weekend. Didn't do much hiking. I was kind of a toad. Eric, were you a toad this? We went together Friday to NASCAR.
We did.
Did you go back out?
I did not. Did you?
I did not. I wanted to. So. I did. No. The November race, I will. Spring race, it's fine. The highlight to me was Ryan Newman was there at the track on Friday. But I did not see Ryan Newman at the track on Friday. I actually went up to somebody from NASCAR and said, are you bringing Ryan Newman in to speak? And she looked at me kind of cross-eyed, like, why would we do that? I don't know, because we're media and we ask rather than just bring in guys to talk about their sponsorship and all that stuff. But that's just me. So it was a good story. Did you enjoy NASCAR?
I did. I had not been to the track in, many, many moons.
Yeah.
So it was good to go out and be shown around by Devin Henry, and
he's a little passionate about it.
He knows a thing or two about NASCAR.
Have you seen the site this morning?
I have, yes.
If you go to our site, sports360az.com, so there's a lot of NASCAR on there. I mean, there's a lot of NASCAR on there this morning. And I'm not making fun of it. It's just I tell the guys, if you're passionate about something, do something on it. Clearly, the day after NASCAR, Devin is very, very passionate about it, which is great. I love having teammates that are totally into it, and it doesn't matter when, where, why, how much. There's no questions asked. He just posts and posts and posts. And so if you're into the track and what happened over the weekend, you'll get plenty there from Devin. Our opening comments are brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most, and that is with life insurance. So tomorrow, I'm meeting with someone, and they're ready to finally do their policy. When I say finally, it takes a while for people to figure it out, for people to sit there and look at their situation and to say, yeah, I really do need to address my life insurance. And I'm meeting with somebody that I met with for the first time last May, someone I know well, someone that said, you know, I'm going to have some changes coming up in my life. And I just simply said, do you want to sit and talk with me about it? And he said, sure, because I have my license. I can do this. And so tomorrow we're going to go to the finish line for him and he's going to be pleased. I have a couple of people that have come to me a year ago that rolled over some 401ks and they're thrilled with their results. Sagicor Now can help you out on all fronts. It's life insurance, but much, much more. Log on, get your free quote at sagicornow.com. That's at Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their longtime support as title sponsor of Sports 360 AZ. Peter King in about 5 minutes or so. So with the NASCAR part of it, not being at the race, but I did see some of the race yesterday. The Super Bowl of NASCAR is termed the Daytona 500. For those of you that don't know, the biggest race of the year, they have the first week of the year, and then the rest of the year, it's the points chase and all that. So this November is the Super Bowl of NASCAR. It's not Daytona, but to give it to you in very basic, plain, unexplanatory terms other than just understand that November's race is huge. It's for all the marbles in November. It's not like the race before or two races before. It's for all the marbles, and that's this November. So that's coming. Okay, that is coming. And Devin does his weekly show on Wednesdays at 10:30 here on the stream, and you can check out all sorts of content from Devin Henry on the racing front. In terms of the college basketball scene, so there's a few things here. On the court, Arizona State split with the Washington schools. They end up getting a first-round bye. Can you believe this? Eric, the last time, the last 2 years, Arizona State has actually done better than U of A in the regular season. It's hard for me to wrap my arms around that we actually have a program in Tempe that is not just middle of the road, mediocre, and's got to play on Wednesday. U of A's playing Wednesday now at 2:30.
Yeah, it's crazy to think ASU lost three of their last four and still got the three seed and still don't play until, like you said, late Thursday, which is good. But somehow U of A as the fifth seed by Vegas standards has a greater probability of winning the Pac-12 tournament than ASU does.
So they play Washington again, and they just played Washington.
Yep.
And Washington's got some fine players, but I wouldn't say that they're the 12 seed. But Washington comes in having played a bit better here recently down the stretch. Can I see U of A being eliminated in the first round? Like, Nico's dad had to go on Twitter today to say that he has not had any discussions with his son about turning pro. Whether I believe that or not is another story. It's just that it's out there.
That's Twitter. That's Twitter.
So by Wednesday afternoon at 4:30, when the game is over, 4:30-ish, we will know if the Suns are going to have a player in their crosshairs for the upcoming draft. Because there's no way Nico Mannion is coming back from everything I see. As a player, do I believe he should come back? Absolutely, I think he could use another year of college.
I think all three should, but all three of the freshmen should, but that's just me.
Well, Najee, so a big man inside.
Very skilled.
Or
not strong, but very skilled.
If you're a guard and you can get your clock ticking on your finances, if you're Nico Mannion and you come out, because another year means another year of your clock not ticking to get that second NBA contract.
Yeah, but he's so young.
I understand
he should
that.
Be a senior in high school right now.
I understand that. Do you think he's going to ruin himself if he's one of these guys that comes out early and just doesn't play well, doesn't perform well? I think it depends on the system as to where they go.
He's just been so inconsistent. He's had stretches where he's been really good. He's had stretches where he's just been awful.
Yeah.
And he's not a strong player either. I think he's going to get pushed around in the NBA.
Okay, so if it's one of the Ball brothers, I think it's LaMelo.
Yes.
That is supposedly the number one overall pick in the draft this year, right now, if we're going by mocks. And not everybody's out, obviously. But if the Knicks have the first pick overall in the draft, and it's Madison Square Garden, and it's New York City.
I wonder who they're going to take.
Yeah.
And of course.
You're going to put butts in seats.
Of course.
So if it's the beloved hometown team, our hometown heroes here in Arizona, who somehow, some way, manage to have the luck of the world go in their favor, which I don't think is going to happen. But they don't need a big man, at least they don't right now.
They do not.
So I think if you're Nico, it's how many guards are going to come out? Where am I going to end up? Am I going to end up in Sacramento, and just be in Sacramento? Are there teams that you look at that say, like Portland, for instance? Could Portland use a reboot and turn everything upside down and they have assets to trade for the number one overall pick? Yeah, certainly. Is there sneaky, sharp guys like the Golden State Warriors who are sitting out there who aren't very good? And could they find ways? So I'm just merely putting it out there. Look, if you want me to sit here on Monday and say, oh my gosh, the Suns beating Milwaukee yesterday was the greatest win in the history of mankind, it's not happening. It's not happening on this show. I don't sit here with pom-poms. And I don't sit here to look to hate. It's just the MVP didn't play. So it's nothing. And they're out of it anyways. So when I hear they're going to win more games than they won last year. You need some luck along the way, like Giannis not playing is luck. The big story today is the Coyotes. I will get into them a little bit later. Why is it the big story today? Because they're right there on the outside of the playoffs looking in. And tonight they could be on the inside of the playoffs looking out with 3 weeks to go in the season. We'll get into all that and much more. But up next, it is Peter King. The Football Morning in America, know-all, tell-all from the NFL. That's Peter King, and that's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. The calm before the storm, 2 weeks and less than now before the new NFL calendar kicks in, and the collective bargaining agreement is online this week. The combine just finished up. You have the Brady Rivers draft, coronavirus, and the draft being canceled, and there's just so much going on. We figured Let's see if Peter could jump on board. Peter King, Football Morning in America. Always good to catch up with everything going on around the National Football League from Peter. Collective bargaining agreement will be voted on this week. Your gut tells you exactly what, Peter, on this.
Well, I mean, my gut feeling is that it probably will pass, but that's only a gut feeling, Brad. I think there are a lot of there's a lot going on right now. The NFLPA just today has extended the deadline for the end of the vote till Saturday at midnight. I'm unsure exactly why they did that. It had been Thursday at midnight, but they extended it to Saturday. I mean, there's a couple of things. There's a couple of things about this. I'm not sure that I've ever seen, you know, basically a union being, you know, being divided from within, because that's exactly what this is. Usually it's the union against the owners, and this time it's the union against the union. So, you know, it's a very, very strange, it's a very strange thing. And I think the other thing that is kind of sad, you got 11,000 former players who are due to get their pension raised from about 30,000 a year to 46,000 a year. And if this fails, they'll get no raise in their pension. So, I don't know. This is the first time that since I've been covering the NFL, that the union has done a lot for the former players. Usually they give them crumbs, and this time they really made it a priority in their deal.
So is this Eric Winston going out the door that you're concerned with, or do you feel – you wrote about him in Football Morning America today, but you sound as though you're concerned about when you say within the union that it's players. Is it Aaron Rodgers throwing out smoke as he did this week?
No, I mean, you know what it is, Brad? It's that usually during deciding whether you're going to accept an offer for a new CBA – it's players sniping at the owners, mm-hmm. saying they haven't given us enough. In this particular case, the owners and D. Smith, Eric Winston, the leadership, the high leadership of the union, they're trying to get the rank and file to pass this. Usually it's D. Smith saying Roger Goodell is this, that, and the other thing. And now D. Smith and Roger Goodell are on the same page. So It's odd. You don't usually see, the head of a sports union be on the same side as the owners in this case. And that's, in this case, what it is.
If this gets rejected, do you see 1987? Are we way too early to think that that is going to be the end all? Because it is, after all, March.
Yeah. And this, you know, look, there's going to be no missed games at all until at the very earliest September of 2021. This CBA, even though it would replace the last year of the current CBA, because the last year of the current CBA is 2020. Mm-hmm. So there's no danger of missing any games this year. I always hesitate to write a lot or to spend a lot of time talking about the CBA when, first of all, if people rightfully so say, why should I care about this? They're going to play football this year regardless. But the reason I've written some about it is that it's such an odd deal. It's so odd to hear a guy like D. Smith say, for instance, this is a great deal. You guys should approve it. Do we get everything we wanted? No. But when you hear that, and then you have players basically saying, we don't like this deal, we didn't get enough in this, that's why it's just an interesting time for me. And when you talk about labor relations and the NFL.
Yeah, and I get asked about it at Speaking Things too, in terms of could they miss games and all that stuff, and I think it's very, very premature, and as you said, 2020.
Yeah.
Peter King with us, Football Morning in America. Laundry list of things to get to. The combine is now in the rearview mirror. As you look at the top two, three, four picks in this draft now, is it pretty well defined? Arizona Cardinal fans are thrilled that there's as many as four quarterbacks that could go before them. Lay it out how you see the top few picks in the draft now that the combine is behind. Who helped themselves, who hurt themselves, all the above.
Well, I think a lot of times we overrate the on-field drills at the combine, but this is just my take that, number one, I would view that Joe Burrow to the Bengals is extremely solid. And after that, I think everything is up in the air. I will still be surprised if Washington does not take Chase Young of Ohio State, the pass rusher. But I do agree with what Washington is doing right now. They're telling everybody in the world, we might take Tua. Mm-hmm. And so now if everybody starts believing that, Miami is absolutely rock solid sold on taking Tua, then they know that they might have to trade up to number two to get him. And this is my favorite scenario of the draft right now. Mm. Suppose that Ron Rivera and everybody in Washington is saying, we love Tua, we might take him. I know we took a quarterback last year, but we really might take Tua. And let's say they convince Miami that they're going to do that. And Miami says, we got to have Tua. If all of those things are true, can you imagine Miami trading, let's say, you know, two ones to move up from 5 to 2 to get this? And then Washington still wants to take Chase Young. So they say to Detroit, if you go from 3 to 5, we'll give you a future first round pick to do that. Mm. And that would leave Washington still with an extra first round pick either this year or next year, you know, just for the kind of risk of going from 2 to 3. If you were to ask me right now, I'd be more inclined to believe that that's the case than anything else. If Detroit stays at 3, I still think that Jerry Okuda, the best cornerback to come into a draft in 2 or 3 years, I think is the most likely pick at 3.
It's interesting too, Peter, because you look at a team like the Chargers, definitely need a quarterback that could be addressed in free agency, but maybe not. And you have Herbert and Love that are sitting there. Could they go before the Cardinals at 8? Carolina, I thought, made an interesting, strange move. They trade for Okun, who's six, seven years older than the lineman they shipped out. What are they doing? They've said Cam Newton is coming back, but is that 100% certain, guaranteed, lock solid? And then Arizona's sitting there saying, well, we might get CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy both there at the same time, or maybe the offensive lineman that we need to protect Kyler Murray. So I think it all bodes well. I'm really focusing on the Arizona end of this. I think the way that it shakes out right now, it sounds like the Cardinals are going to be in a good spot at 8. They could even trade back if need be and still get the guy they want.
If I were Arizona, I'd be thrilled, because I think look, all of these, I mean, what are we, 6 weeks away from the draft anyway, maybe 7, whatever it is. I'll just give you a scenario. To me, Arizona has a major need on the offensive line long term. Imagine just sitting there and getting one of the tackles. I mean, that would be great for them. Or, because to me, Brad, and I understand that, you know, that Kyler Murray is saying, oh, my God, please take CeeDee Lamb. It'd be fantastic. I get that. But I just keep thinking to myself, when I look at this draft and maybe the best wide receiver crop ever, you know, if you're Arizona, look what happened last year.
Yeah.
Look at DK Metcalf, second round, A.J. Brown, second round, Terry McLaurin of Ohio State, third round, Debo Samuel, second round. And this crop might be better. I mean, at least going into it, this crop is seen as better by scouts. So I almost think that, okay, unless you have your absolute heart set on, you think CeeDee Lamb is going to be this generation's Larry Fitzgerald, I'd take a receiver in the second or third round if I was Arizona, because I think their needs are bigger at other positions right now.
Quick follow-up on that. Do you take Kyler Murray's comments or his push into consideration if you're Steve Keim and Michael Bidwell? You've covered the NFL a long time. You know where quarterbacks will go lobby and push for players. Do you take into account that he would like CeeDee Lamb?
I mean, I think you're respectful to it, and I think anybody would look at this crop of wide receivers and say, man, these guys are great, and I get it. But I just think at this point, you know, look, if I were them, one of those guys at some point, you know, maybe when the off-season program starts, maybe even before that, you pick up the phone. I'm sure that the NFL wouldn't be upset at this. If you pick up the phone, have a 10-minute conversation with Kyler Murray and just say, look, we have 11 running backs, and I'm making this up.
Sure. No.
We have 11 wide receivers in our top 50. And so top 50 rated players. So, you know, we would much rather, let's just say, you know, take a really good tackle. And then, you know, in the second round, we'll get Michael Pittman, or we'll get a really good wide receiver who you can grow old with. And again, I don't know whether that's what they think or not. Of course you take it into account, but Kyler Murray can't run your draft.
Peter King with us. Before I get you out of here, Football Morning in America with Peter, your gut on Tom Brady.
I don't really have a gut feeling about where he's going to go. I do think it's more likely than not he's going to sign somewhere else. You know, San Francisco has emerged a little bit now. For some reason, I think that the Chargers and the Raiders just seem a little bit out. The Chargers, certainly. I think the Chargers are more of a draft and develop team. And that's why I think there's a better chance that they would draft Justin Herbert than sign Tom Brady. If I had to go to Vegas right now and put $2 down on one team to sign Brady, I would probably say Tennessee. But I have no inside information that suggests that it will be Tennessee.
And the other quarterback that's intriguing, oh, there's a lot of them in this offseason, is Phillip Rivers. I mean, Phillip Rivers is sitting out there. You and I spoke about him the first time it came out, and you had said, you know, Chicago might be a good landing spot for him. That was about 6 weeks ago. You have a thought now on Phillip Rivers coming into this season?
Well, I had thought for a long time that Phillip Rivers and Indianapolis just simply make too much sense. But I've become a little bit disabused of that notion, Brad, and I'll tell you why. You know, you look at the Colts and you see the Colts, they've got $88 million in cap room, and you say, geez, they could afford to sign Phillip Rivers for 1 or 2 years and basically just say, okay, look, we'll fix our quarterback situation, you know, for the next 2 seasons by getting Phillip Rivers. But I just think Phillip Rivers, if he plays football, is going to want to make a lot of money. He always has made a lot of money. For him to sign for $15 million a year or whatever with heavy incentives is just not what he has done up to this point. So my gut feeling is Indianapolis is probably more likely to try to trade a mid to low round pick for Nick Foles, because Nick Foles is $30 million for the next 2 years. And so to me, I think that's just my gut feeling on that one. And it's hard to find a landing spot for Phillip Rivers unless, you know, Carolina's got a crush on Rivers. And, you know, they certainly are not in as good a cap shape as Indianapolis is. So I don't, you know, all this is going to shake out soon, obviously. But I think it's possible that Phillip Rivers may not have a logical landing place in the game of quarterback musical chairs.
Last question, a quick one here, Peter. NFL draft in Vegas, coronavirus out there. Is the league looking at potentially not doing the Vegas draft?
You know, the league just has issued a blanket statement. Even as of today, we're looking at everything. You know, the first issue, honestly, on a lot of people's minds around the league is the league meetings. starting 3 weeks from yesterday in Palm Beach, Florida. Is it really wise to bring together a lot of septuagenarian and older owners to, you know, to sit in some meeting rooms together? Who knows, you know, 20 days from now, how many cases of the coronavirus there will be in Palm Beach, Florida, or even in South Florida. So I think it's way too early to opine about the draft, but it's a very fluid situation, Brad, and I think it's something that everybody looking at the league right now really wonders about, because there's no question, based on what you've seen the last couple of years, especially Nashville, Dallas, Philly, where the crowds have been absolutely bonkers for this draft. I mean, the NFL would really be disappointed if it had to curtail either how many people or whether people would come at all to the 2020 draft in Vegas.
As always, Peter, I appreciate your time and your insight on all fronts. Thank you.
Thank you, Brad. You take care.
You as well. There's Peter King with us. Football Morning in America. Great content there. I sent Erica a text this morning when Peter was confirmed that he was coming on. I started at like 6:50 and I think I was done with it like 7:25. You just sit there and consume it. There's just so much good stuff there. Sports360AZ.com. All right, so the Sun Devils and the Wildcats, so they get together in Vegas. We are going to be in Vegas later this week. The ASU game will be played. Their first game is not until Thursday night. If you're planning on heading up to watch the U of A, their first game will be against Washington, and that will be at 2:30 on Wednesday afternoon. But here's the great thing about Vegas. I don't know what tournaments they have that are opposite. Like, I know the Mountain West, they already played theirs, and San Diego State was eliminated in the championship game against Utah State, so they made it in. This is one of those deals where when you go to Vegas, there's all these other tournaments going on.
The West Coast Conference is going to be completed.
I can't hear you.
You should be able to.
It's fine. I'll just do my thing. It's fine. It's a problem on my end. So the GCU part, which I was going to get to, GCU, they end up, they're off until Thursday. Thursday, they have their first game, and they will be playing Thursday afternoon at 2:30 as well. If you're going to go to Vegas, this is one of those sporting events that I would suggest that you do. This is not March Madness sitting in the sports book and putting down money on games. You can put money down on conference tournaments, but this is like the basketball heaven because you can bounce from one arena to the next. You don't have to just sit and watch a television set the entire time, all right? So my advice to you, if you're going to go, if you're even thinking about going, just do it. If you're a big sports fan and you've never done the Pac-12 tournament, just do it. First game is Oregon State against Utah at noon on Wednesday, and then you have the U of A game at 2:30. You get there in time to hit a buffet. You get there in time to go drop a few dimes. Then you go watch the U of A play. And then you head out and you get back that night and you go watch Stanford against Cal or Colorado against Washington State. Or you go see some of the other tournaments that are going on. That's on Wednesday. And you do it all again Thursday. You do it all again Friday. And then Saturday you have the championship game. And then you're just worn out. All right? So if you've never done the Pac-12 tourney, and I think if you look at Arizona State's situation, so they'll play the late game on Thursday night. They'll play at 8:30. And if they win that game, they would then play in the semifinal number two game at 8:30 on Friday night. If they win that, they play in the championship game on Saturday. So they only have to win two games to get to the championship round. It feels like through the years when we go there, and ASU's always playing on a Wednesday, and U of A is playing on a Thursday. It just felt like U of A is going to play in the title game, and ASU is going to be out of here by Thursday or so. Regardless of what happens, I can't see a scenario where they're not in the tournament, even if they were to lay an egg in the first game that they have up there. But now you're about seeding. Now you're about, let's see if you can get above an 8 or a 7. And if you go on a bit of a run here, if you go on an extended run, if you can get 2-3 games and get all the way to the championship game, how high can you go in the seedings? It's no different than San Diego State losing to Utah State. Is San Diego State going to be a 1 or a 2 now? I was hearing an interview with Brian Dutcher, the coach with San Diego State. They've been viewed as a one seed all season long. And he said, the good thing about us losing tonight is we know we're still in the tournament. We don't know if we're a one or we're a two. If you're Bobby Hurley, you're always in that space. Are we going to Dayton for a game, the final playing game? And this year, it doesn't appear that that is going to be the case. And so that's very, very good stuff. I want to get into the coronavirus a little bit here, and I'll do that after this timeout. We've got to take a quick break here because there has been a sporting event that has been claimed, and I am struggling with the idea. And I brought this up like 2 weeks ago with Eric that we might be playing games in empty arenas. And at the time, it sounded a little crazy, but now we've had a big event canceled. I'll get into that after this timeout. So the coronavirus finally has made its way into the sports world. No Nadal, no Djokovic, no Serena, no Coco Gauff this week at Indian Wells. It's over in Palm Springs. The tennis event canceled. An event that draws 450,000 fans canceled. So today, this is going to be part of the news cycle as the day progresses. Today, the NBA is holding a conference call on what to do about playing in empty buildings. LeBron James said, I'm not playing if there's no fans in the stands. That all sounds good. It just doesn't feel right. You know, I get it. You're there to entertain those in attendance. But let's be clear. The vast majority of your audience is watching you on television. So to say you're not going to play because there aren't fans in the stands, I don't agree with that. I thought that was kind of a crazy statement on his part. Major League Baseball has said that they're going to have a conference call today. So you have the NBA and Major League Baseball today talking internally about what do we do. And based on what is being reported out there about where the coronavirus is and whether you believe it or not believe it, I would think that they will not say, yeah, we're doing nothing. Everything is fine and dandy. I don't know. I know that out where I live, it's been reported that there's a high school kid that has come down with a coronavirus out where we live. I don't know. I've been out in public. I don't sense that there's empty buildings. A church yesterday was packed. Went to a restaurant yesterday. It was packed. Am I sitting there concerned that I'm going to get something from Eric or Jared or Jordan? Not today. Do I understand that this is emerging and is happening and that this should be taken seriously? Absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, the idea of sanitizing and washing hands and being clean, just from everything that I've read from people that I trust, not sitting there turning on a cable news channel that has an agenda. Of course, everything has got to be politicized. Everything. Everything's got to be politicized. But from the people whose opinions I trust and respect, do I feel like that this is something that is serious? I'm in my mid-50s. I'm right on the cusp, on the edge. But now that a kid has been diagnosed with it, does that change everything? That hasn't really been reported yet, but I've seen it in a couple spots. In terms of sports, look, the NBA has issued memos addressing this. The most recent one was they informed teams that they're going to have the conference call today, team physicians, trainers throughout the NBA, urging each team to leave, to have at least one representative on the call. Now, they've talked about banning media from coming into the locker rooms. And I am concerned about this because this is the very first attempt to, let's say, let's restrict access even more, and we'll just use the coronavirus as a way. And you'll say, well, what are you talking about? That's another person. You don't know where that person has been. If you're just trying to control the environment, if you're not letting us do our job of reporting, instead of being fanboy and fangirl, being given an account through a team, and it's pretty much decided that you're not going to be really reporting what's going on. Everything's got to be happy and great. It's like I read on Twitter now, a lot of these accounts of websites that have come up. Great to hear. Great news. Awesome here. Great this. Great that. Everything's great. Even when you're the Suns and you stink and you beat Milwaukee, you're going to say it's great, even though the MVP wasn't even in the building. So, you know, I don't trust the idea of restricting access to media. We have a job to do, okay? If I'm in Vegas, if I go to Vegas, I'm pretty sure I'm going to go to Vegas. If they said it's an empty building, it might actually be a better story than going there to a full building. It might. Asking fans to not go to games, changing the way that we go about our daily intake of sports will only ramp up in places like this that you're watching us, or on television where you see our show. If people are forced to stay at home, it's really not going to affect the bottom line nearly as much as the television contract. The days of filling up stadiums being the chief main source of revenue, are gone. So you can go play in front of empty arenas as long as the game is being broadcast. That's all that matters. Well, any of these March Madness games, there might be 5,000-6,000 fans that are there. You know, they'll bring the band, but there's empty seats galore at these games. But people watch. People will be here on their phone. So the leagues can say, yes, we are very, very concerned about this. And we are going to take the measures. It's very extreme and drastic. And we're not going to have anybody come into the arena. And we'll just play in an empty arena. And it doesn't mean a damn thing because they're still going to get their money through the television dollars. It's just where we're going. And it's another way to just kind of push, just push gently on, or even roughly on, media that they don't want to have cover their sports anymore. They want to control the narrative all the way through their team websites. Let's not kid each other. On the college level, that's a little different. You have your students that will be there or could be there. But there still is the, if you're not going to say that everything is great and awesome and amazing, then we're just not going to give you access. Well, let me tell you something. When things aren't awesome, great, and amazing, the people that I respect are the ones that are right there when things are bad. And so in this space, if they come back and say, yeah, we're not going to allow access into the arena, I'll probably fight it. I don't know if I'll go. Is it that great of a story? It's Arizona State and U of A at the Pac-12 tournament. It's a good story. If you've never been, it's great. But the coronavirus is certainly going to change things. Like talking to Peter on the NFL draft, I get that. I do. If they have 600,000 dudes with ball caps backwards, they're wearing their jerseys, supporting their teams, and this thing continues to grow, does it make sense? The team owners, general managers, and coaches all being together in the same room, that doesn't make sense. So we'll just see on this front. But I'm telling you today, today, as the day progresses, there's going to be stuff on here. And it will be a talking point. It'll be debated day in, day out for the next few days. Media's got to be thrilled with this. This is me bashing on my own industry. They've got to be thrilled with this. We have a presidential election this year, and now we have this. So if you're one of these news channels, you're just going to say, man, we've got it all covered. No, you've actually just have two big things have dropped in your lap. Huge things, actually.
Are you worried about going to Vegas?
No.
I'm not either. I mean, it's funny because we've talked about this before, Brad. Vegas is probably the germiest place, one of the germiest places in America. And if I happen to get a cold or not feel well when I'm leaving Vegas, I know it's because I touched a door handle or I, you know, was playing a slot machine that 9 million other germy people have been using. I'm not going to be like, oh, no, I have the coronavirus, because Vegas, you know, they pump oxygen into those casinos, and it's just a dirty place.
Well, that's not very nice.
It is.
But you're right.
Of course it is.
No, I mean, look.
It's where people go and be irresponsible. Don't sleep, drink too much, make bad decisions.
Do we do that?
No. Right. We go eat Chinese food and cover basketball.
That's it. That's what we do. But I do think, in all seriousness, if I catch a cold, I catch a cold. That's just how I am. I'm at church yesterday and I was fist bumping people. And I was actually doing the toe touch. You seen that one?
Where people I have not. Just... But I did notice in the handshake line after ASU Washington, they were doing the
elbow.
Uh-huh. They were doing the forearm.
Yeah.
And I was like, why are they doing that? I was like, oh, I know why now. That makes sense.
There,
okay.
There was a point yesterday at church where when I was going in, I was thinking, are we taking communion today? They have this plate with crackers and
you dip it
and you're
of
just
course.
Like, how many people have just like put their fingernails inside
right?
the grape
juice? Or touched,
juice?
You know, one of the crackers or however they do that?
Yeah. We didn't have communion yesterday, so although I could have used it. But. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. He did not screw up today. I screwed up in the last segment, and you wouldn't have known it unless I brought it up. Eric Sorensen is Senior Executive Vice President of Everything. He found Peter King, and it's always good to have him here. Jordan Hamm is here working on his recruiting roundup. We have plenty of content coming your way today. If you go to the site right now, you'll say, man, there's a lot of NASCAR on here. Yeah, it's because Devin Henry gets after it. But through the day, we have lots coming up. Pro college, high school, college pro makes no difference to us. We are self-funded. We appreciate those that sponsor us. Without them, we are not here. Have yourself a great day.